picture an American flag for a second, right? You've got the stark white stars against that deep blue field.
Yeah, the classic bold red and white stripes just waving in the wind.
Exactly. It's a deeply familiar image to all of us. But if you look closer at the source material we're examining today, right into the folds of the fabric itself, there's actually something hiding in plain sight.
Oh, yeah, printed in reverse, almost blending into the red stripe.
Right. It's a line of text that reads, "Paid for by Brent Lambie, P.O. Box 563, Central City, 280427."
It's just a brilliant visual metaphor, you know, like something hidden within the very fabric of an American symbol, which is honestly exactly what the author is arguing about the people he's defending in this text.
Yeah, and today, for you, the listener, we are pulling on that hidden thread. We are unpacking a highly specific, highly provocative political advertisement from Sunday, November 23, 2025.
The one titled America's Undocumented Founders, A Constitutional Reckoning on Immigration.
That's the one. And the mission for this deep dive is to really decode the architecture of this document. We're going to examine the historical arguments he uses, the legal framework he builds, and the very deliberate way this ad targets specific lawmakers to turn theory into, well, real-world pressure.
Right, but before we get into the weeds here, because this text touches on the third rail of American politics, right? Mass deportations, family separations, border
Oh,
policy.
absolutely.
Because of that, we are checking our own politics at the door.
Okay, let's unpack this. We aren't here to endorse Brent Lambie's views, and we're not here to criticize them either. We are simply acting as your guides to understanding how he constructs this argument.
Exactly. We're just looking at the mechanics of what he's saying.
Right. And he starts with a historical claim that completely flips the script on how we typically, talk about immigration today. Lambie points out that before 1892, the United States had absolutely no federal immigration system,
None. Zero.
which is wild to think about.
It really forces a complete recalibration of how we view the 19th century. I mean, when we think of early American immigration, we almost always picture that structured bureaucratic process of Ellis Island.
Yeah, the lines, the inspections, the paperwork.
Exactly. But Ellis Island didn't even open until 1892. Before that, the system was essentially non-existent. You got on a boat. You survived the journey across the ocean, you walked off the docks in New York or Boston, and you just started looking for work.
There were no visas,
No visas, no green cards.
no background checks, nothing. The text actually says these early arrivals brought, quote, "only hope, courage, and the promise of freedom."
Yeah.
And then Lambie just drops the hammer. He says that by today's strict modern standards, every single immigrant who arrived before Ellis Island opened would be labeled undocumented.
What's fascinating here is how Lambie is actively constructing this moral paradox for the reader. He is taking a highly stigmatized modern label, undocumented, and retroactively applying it to the most romanticized era of American history.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Right. He is arguing that the supposedly, paperless individuals of today are the modern equivalent of the exact same people who built the transcontinental railroads.
Right, the ones who plowed the plains of the Midwest, raised the factories.
Exactly, the ones who essentially gave birth to the American middle class.
Reading this, it's like trying to yank the 19th century foundation out from under a modern skyscraper just because it doesn't meet 2025 building codes.
Oh, that's a really good analogy.
Like, you can't just remove the concrete without the entire agricultural and industrial floors above it totally collapsing. You can't retroactively declare the foundation illegal, or tear it out without bringing down the whole building.
Right, and that analogy gets right to the heart of the economic and historical reality that Lambie is highlighting here. He is intentionally challenging the modern reader to face a pretty jarring hypothetical scenario.
Which is.
Well, if today's strict deportation policies were applied to the 19th century, most Americans alive today wouldn't even exist. Yeah, their ancestors would have been turned away or deported before they ever had the chance to establish roots.
And the text explicitly spells that out for the reader. Quote, "If we applied today's deportation policies to the 19th century, most Americans alive now would never have been born."
It's a heavy statement.
It really is. Our cities, our universities, our industries, the text claims this entire backbone of the modern United States was shaped by people who entered without a single shred of paperwork.
Which perfectly establishes the core thesis of his historical argument.
Yeah.
According to the text, America's greatness is rooted not in walls or quotas, but in open doors and opportunity.
So he's setting up this premise that inclusion is the historical baseline.
Exactly. He's saying that the modern concept of illegal immigration is just an administrative invention, one that completely contradicts the very founding reality of the nation.
So he's saying the idea that today's immigrants are somehow, you know, less deserving of humanity or protection contradicts both our history and our founding principles. But, and this is a big, but history alone doesn't win court cases.
No, it definitely doesn't.
You can debate the morality of the 19th century all day long, but an essay about the 1880s doesn't stop a deportation bus in 2025.
Right.
And Lambie clearly knows this, which is why the ad takes a really sharp turn here. He pivots from the 19th century history directly into a strict 21st century legal framework.
He moves the argument from what is moral to what is constitutional.
Exactly. He brings the argument out of the history books and straight into the courtroom, specifically under the section he titles The Constitutional Crisis Today.
And this is where he lays out his primary legal grievance.
Oh, yeah.
Lambie argues that the real crisis isn't actually happening at the southern border. It's happening in Washington, D.C.
Specifically, he takes aim at the executive branch, right?
Yes. The text points out that the Constitution specifically grants Congress the power to make immigration law.
Okay.
And it gives the judicial branch the power to interpret and review how that law is applied.
Right. I mean, that's just the foundational architecture of the U.S. government. Congress writes the laws, the executive enforces them, and the judiciary ensures that enforcement is actually lawful and constitutional.
But the text claims the executive branch is currently acting unilaterally, completely bypassing the other two branches.
How so?
Well, Lambie accuses the executive branch of ordering mass arrests, executing mass deportations, separating families, and crucially ignoring court rulings that affirm basic due process rights.
Hold on, though. I want to push back on this premise just a bit on behalf of the listener.
Sure, go ahead.
Isn't the executive branch just enforcing the immigration laws that Congress already passed? I mean, how does Lambie make the leap that enforcing the law is actively breaking the supreme law of the land, the Constitution?
It's a great question. Great. And it goes down to the mechanics of how that enforcement is happening. Lambie isn't arguing that the executive branch doesn't have the right to enforce immigration.
Yeah.
He's arguing that in their rush to execute mass deportations, they're utilizing mechanisms like expedited removal on a massive scale.
Mm.
And by doing that, they are essentially skipping the judicial review process.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, when you bypass a judge to deport someone faster, you are usurping the judicial branch's power. You are acting as cop, judge, and jury all at once.
So it's not really about the destination deportation. It's about the shortcut they are taking to get there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to look at the specific amendments Lambie invokes to make his case, namely the 5th and the 14th Amendments.
The constitutional guardrails against government overreach.
Right. He leans incredibly heavily on those two amendments.
He does. But why those two specifically?
Because of the very specific language written into them. The text emphasizes that the 5th and 14th Amendments guarantee equal protection and due process of law to all persons.
All persons.
That is the exact phrase in the Constitution. All persons. It doesn't say all citizens.
Oh.
It doesn't say all documented taxpayers. It simply says persons.
That one word does a lot of heavy lifting.
It does all the lifting.
Mm.
Lambie points out that the Supreme Court has consistently recognized, dating back over a century actually, that anyone physically on U.S. soil is entitled to these baseline constitutional protections.
So just being here is enough.
Right. Territorial jurisdiction means the Constitution applies to the soil, not just the passport holder standing on it.
Okay, so the argument is if you are physically breathing air and standing on dirt inside the borders of the United States, you get due process.
Exactly.
You get a day in court. You get to stand before a judge before the government can just deprive you of your liberty or property.
And that is the Supreme Court precedent Lambie is citing here. Therefore, he argues that when the executive branch unilaterally detains or deports people without proper judicial oversight,
stripping away that day in court to speed up the administrative process.
Exactly. When they do that, it is a direct threat to the Republic's separation of powers. It is the executive branch disregarding the limits of its own power, all in the name of political expediency.
It's a massive accusation. I mean, he is essentially saying the executive branch is acting like a monarchy, right? Just bypassing the elected lawmakers in Congress and ignoring the judges in the courts to just do whatever it wants.
Which brings his entire argument full circle.
That's so.
Well, think about it.
Yeah.
If the country was founded by people who arrived without papers,
right,
and the Constitution was deliberately written to protect all persons from absolute unchecked executive power.
Okay, I see where this is going.
Then modern unilateral deportations are a violation of both America's historical identity and its foundational legal framework.
Wow. It is a meticulously woven argument.
It really is.
But again, you know, Lambie can argue constitutional law until he's blue in the face. Publishing a legal thesis in a vacuum doesn't actually change policy.
No, it doesn't.
A well-written essay doesn't make a politician vote differently. Pressure does.
Exactly.
And that's why the bottom half of this ad abandons the legal theory entirely and turns into a highly specific bare-knuckle political hit list.
We move from abstract constitutional theory to boots-on-the-ground tactical execution.
Because if you look at the physical layout of the source material, it bridges that gap perfectly. But first, let's establish who is actually making this demand.
Right, the author.
The ad is signed by Brent Lambie, listed as an independent. And there's a credential right below his name, Creighton University School of Law, class of 1985.
He's leveraging that credential to establish legal authority with the reader.
Makes sense.
He's telling the reader, look, I'm not just a guy with an opinion. I am trained to interpret the Constitution, and I am telling you a crisis is happening.
But here's where it gets really interesting. He doesn't just end this sweeping historical and legal essay with a generic call your congressman message.
Right. He gets very specific.
He provides a highly specific geographic target list. He lists the Washington, D.C. office addresses, the direct phone numbers, and the websites for politicians exclusively in Nebraska and Iowa.
The geography there is the entire point of the ad.
Let me actually read the name so you, the listener, can hear just how hyper-focused this strategy is.
Go for it.
For Nebraska, he lists Senator Deb Fischer, Senator Pete Ricketts, Congressman Don Bacon, Congressman Mike Flood, and Congressman Adrian Smith.
And then Iowa.
Right. Then right below that, the Iowa delegation, Senator Chuck Grassley, Senator Joni Ernst, Congressman Zach Nunn, and Congressman Randy Feenstra. It is just a solid wall of Midwestern politicians.
This reveals the deeply tactical nature of the source. By targeting Nebraska and Iowa representatives, Lambie is not just shouting into the wind in some national newspaper.
Right.
He is putting pressure specifically on heartland politicians. And the reason why is entirely economic.
Because of agriculture.
Exactly. These two states are deeply fundamentally tied to the agricultural industry.
Mm-hmm.
Corn, soybeans, and crucially, meatpacking.
Industries that historically and honestly currently rely heavily on immigrant labor to function.
Heavily is an understatement. Mm-hmm. I mean, in many of these rural Midwestern towns, the local meatpacking plant or the large-scale agricultural operation is the sole economic engine of the entire community.
Wow.
And those engines run on the labor of the exact demographic of people Lambie is defending in this ad. Without that labor pool, those industries just grind to a halt.
The crops rot in the fields.
A processing line stop and the local economies collapse.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's absolutely not a coincidence. An ad paid for by an independent voter with a P.O. box in Central City, Colorado, is spending real money to target voters specifically in Nebraska and Iowa.
It is a calculated lever of pressure. These specific representatives sit at a very uncomfortable intersection.
How do you mean?
Well, on one hand, they represent conservative political bases that might favor stricter immigration enforcement.
Right.
But on the other hand, they represent massive agricultural industries that would face an existential threat from the very mass deportations Lambie is arguing against.
Oh, so he's trying to pry these politicians away from their bases' potential demands by threatening their economic stability.
Exactly. But this raises an important question, though, for you to consider as a listener.
Okay.
How effective is it, really, to use dense constitutional arguments like Fifth Amendment due process and separation of powers to motivate everyday citizens in the Midwest?
That's a fair point.
Like, is a treatise on the 14th Amendment's All Persons Clause actually going to make a farmer or a factory worker pick up the phone and call Senator Chuck Grassley or Congressman Don Bacon?
That is the ultimate tension of this document. It combines the lofty, high-minded rhetoric of a law school lecturer with the absolute grassroots tactic of publishing a politician's direct phone number.
Yeah.
It's like, here is a profound moral paradox about the founding of our nation, and here is a breakdown of unilateral executive overreach. Now call Mike Flood at 202-225-4806.
It is a fascinating juxtaposition of ideas and action.
It really is.
It perfectly illustrates the reality of modern political advocacy. You have to build the intellectual and moral justification to make people care, but then you must provide an immediate, frictionless avenue for action.
Right.
The ad commands the reader to, quote, urge them to support fair and humane immigration policies. It doesn't leave the reader wondering what to do with their outrage.
It's demanding the reader take the history lesson and the law lesson and immediately turn it into a phone call to a specific desk in Washington, D.C.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean for you? Today, we unpacked an ad that weaves together a historical reminder of America's paperless past, a very sharp legal critique of how the executive branch is bypassing the courts, and a highly targeted Midwestern political call to action aimed at the very politicians whose economies depend on the people being targeted.
We moved from the undocumented arrivals of 1892 to the modern constitutional balance of power, right down to the phone lines of the Rayburn House office building.
And understanding how these political arguments are constructed, how they blend history, constitutional law, and localized economic pressure into one single page makes you a much more informed consumer of media.
Definitely.
When you see an ad like this, you aren't just reading the text anymore. You are seeing the strategy behind it. You are seeing the architecture of the argument.
Which is the entire goal of examining primary sources like this.
Yeah.
But to close our deep dive today, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over.
Okay, let's hear it.
It builds on Lambie's concluding line, that every generation of Americans included someone who arrived without papers, but with a dream.
Right.
If we accept Lambie's premise that the very foundation of the nation was built by those who would be deemed illegal today, it forces us to ask a really difficult question about the future.
Which is?
100 years from now, when historians look back at the policies of the 2020s, will they see our current immigration frameworks as a necessary evolution of the rule of law? Or simply as the moment America decided to pull up the ladder it used to build itself.